I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto City Clerk certified the election results on October 27th, confirming the results of the Toronto municipal election that was held on October 24th. In what was the closest race to watch, former Environmental Commissioner of Ontario, Diane Sachs, narrowly won Ward 11, University Rosedale, by 130 votes. Earlier during election night, Norm DePasquale, who also held a small lead, was named the winner initially by some media outlets, but his lead gradually slipped as the night progressed. As the Ward 11 elect, Sachs and the other seven new city councillors will be officially sworn in on November 15th. Part of Sachs' election platform was finding solutions for Toronto's housing crisis of supply and affordability. It's an ongoing issue that Sachs inherits from her predecessor, longtime councillor Mike Layden.
We're in the middle of a housing emergency. I think all of you can appreciate that. We have more people being evicted across our city, and we have people sleeping in our parks. It is not time to be timid. It is not time to shy away from a bold approach to housing. It's time to treat this like an emergency. It's time for us to make it a little uncomfortable for those who have profited from the current system that has actually helped to perpetuate and fuel this problem. Indeed, if they don't feel uncomfortable, we're not doing enough. Developers are going to say absolutely anything. Let me say that again. They're going to say anything to get the city away from their profits. Now, I'm not blaming them. We've actually helped develop this system and create profits that the banks now depend on. We contributed to that. It's time for us to stop enabling them and to break their addiction to their profits and their pushback against affordable housing. Now, inclusionary zoning has been discussed for many years as a significant potential to help alleviate some of the strains on our housing crisis. It's not a silver bullet by any means. Governments will still need to bring deeper affordability to those who need it, and the market will still need to contribute to growth and the availability of market housing. But this policy looks to build out an important segment of the housing spectrum in the communities with the hottest real estate markets and soaring rents and costs. It's time we reshape the market so as to ensure that we are building mixed-income communities in our city.
One of Layden's last efforts to help remedy the housing crisis was spearheading legislation that allocates 10% of new developments as affordable housing, which would increase to 22% by the year 2030. This was in response to Toronto's continued rise in rent, the threat of rent evictions, and months after 10 encampment clearings that were met with deep criticism from the public. The passing of inclusionary zoning was viewed as not going far enough by critics early in 2022, however, especially by Acorn Canada, an independent national organization of low and moderate income people. They proposed to Layden that it should start at 22% and see further increases from that benchmark. Despite no longer being part of City Council, Layden continues to advocate for better rent protection and affordability, especially as the cold months approach. During the election, Sachs campaigned for inclusionary zoning as well, and focused on diversifying the type of homes that should be built and available. This includes introducing more stacked multiplex and laneway housing, and fair rent controls to ensure tenants are protected from unforeseen rent increases and rent evictions, according to her website. In a September interview, Sachs told CGRU her plans for affordable housing also include making the missing middle a right, which are plans to create more diverse housing in walkable neighborhoods.
Affordable housing is obviously hugely important. It's important for people at almost all income levels. I mean, even for myself, I would like my children to be able to live somewhere near me so I can get to see them and see my grandchildren, and housing is just super expensive. Fortunately, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There is lots and lots of research on how to increase housing supply, and housing supply is a critical element of cost. So we need to have missing middle as of right. City of Victoria is leading the way on this right now. Approvals delays add enormously to the cost of housing. Another thing that adds a huge amount of wasteful cost to housing is mandatory car parking requirements, which are positively harmful in the downtown core. So getting rid of those helps reduce the cost of infill housing and makes infill practical on smaller sites. We need to be more flexible in what kinds of housing we allow in the city. There's no reason why we can't have tiny homes and modular housing and garden suites and basement apartments. We need to have legalized and properly regulated rooming houses to make less expensive housing available in more parts of the city. We need inclusionary zoning. We need to expand portable housing benefits. We need a revolving loan fund so that nonprofit housing providers can build and operate more housing. And in addition, we need to protect renters with things like minimum maintenance standards and exploring social impact bonds. There's been some great success, for example, in Denver, using social impact bonds to pay for supportive housing that takes the chronically homeless out of the endless cycle of emergency response, which is enormously expensive. It's much cheaper to provide people with housing.
Further, Sachs said the city needs to think about how land is being used in the downtown core. She said that the city should prioritize pedestrians and cyclists above private cars.
The city has many challenges in providing homes for the homeless. And a lot of those problems are driven by the provincial government. We have dramatically too low funding, for example, for people with disabilities. ODSP is impossible to live on. And that's why in the provincial campaign, I was part of calling for ODSP to be doubled. People do need to have a livable income, which would allow them to pay for housing. But that's something the provincial government has to do and is flatly refusing to do. I agree that we shouldn't have encampments in parks. Green space is very limited in downtown Toronto. As the population grows, there's more and more pressure on it. And turning parks into housing is, I think, a really bad solution. But we can't just kick people out of encampments unless we have somewhere else for them to go. There are, I think, other options. I mean, land is very precious in the city and is under really severe demands, but there are some things that we do with land right now that aren't very good uses. Parking lots, for example, are generally bad for downtowns. And thinking about whether we can turn some of those parking lots into community gardens or parks or housing or some combination is certainly something we could do. Another thing we could be thinking about is the golf courses. We have, I think, 3 municipal golf courses in Toronto, which provide benefits for a very small number of people. The Indigenous community has a legitimate claim for some land space in Toronto, and I think we should be thinking about whether they're entitled to at least one of those golf courses, whether for food growing or for housing or for some combination, as part of our program of reconciliation. Land back is part of reconciliation. Environmental justice is part of reconciliation. And just throwing people out of parks with nowhere to go doesn't take us closer to that.
According to the City of Toronto, more than half of downtown residents are renters. The city's main initiative to boost affordable housing is the Housing TO for 2020 to 2030 project. This includes building the supply of mixed-income units. More details to come as Sachs officially takes office as Ward 11's new councillor on November 15th. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.